Thank you, Bennett. We appreciate that very much. We're looking forward to Wednesday night hearing Jeremy preach. So come back Wednesday night. I know you'll get a blessing by hearing Jeremy preach. Janae and Jeremy, thank you so much for that song. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of, let's start in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, I want you to put your finger there. And I also want you to put your finger on 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's Philippians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Appreciate you being faithful, being back tonight. Some of you are probably wondering where Pastor is. Pastor is speaking at a conference in Colorado, and he is on his way there tonight. And I pray you be praying for him as he is away and as he wants to be a blessing to those men and people at those conferences. So please be praying for him as he's going to be an encouragement to them. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever stopped to think of some of the things you do every day? I know some of them, they become habits, don't they? Like getting up and brushing our teeth. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Some of us, like Brother Tony, you know, goes and works out every day. You know, some people, of course, all of us, most of us, eat every day. Amen. We love to eat. Most of us like to sleep sometime during the day. Amen. Some of us probably feel like we work every day. Isn't that right? Absolutely. Even though we sometimes want a day off, we find ourselves working or doing something like that. Well, in our Christian life, it's something that I've learned as a very important principle in my life that I really want to share my heart with you tonight, that's really helped me in the 5 years that I've been RU director here at Worth Baptist Church and gone through the program and seeing how God transforms lives. And it really has transformed my life, and it really is a secret. It's really the secret of the Christian life. We call it in RU the hidden life, the hid-in life, walking in Christ and having our identity in Christ. But I really want to talk to you tonight about something that has really helped me. I'm not going to say that I've arrived yet, because we all know that, as Paul said, we've not arrived yet. But we're all growing. And I pray that you're growing in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I really want to share with you some wonderful truths from God's Word tonight about our daily Christian life. You know, walking with Christ is a daily matter. It's something that we do every day. I did a little word study this week and found something very neat. You know how many times the word daily is found in the Bible? 31 times. You know what? That automatically made me think of the book of Proverbs, that we read a proverb every day. I know that as a teenager, 17 years old, I promised God, or made a promise to God, that to the best of my ability, I was going to spend time in God's Word every day and read a proverb every day. And how many proverbs are there? There are 31, one for each day of the month. And then, I don't know, we heard this the other day, and that there are 365 fear ye nots or fear nots in the Bible. Now, I don't know, I've never counted them, Brother Gaddis, but I'm just taking somebody's word for them, okay? But that's what they say. And then I looked at this and said, 31 dailies in the Bible, and it just reiterated the fact that living the Christian life is really a daily walk. It's something we do every day. Now, I know that there are several things that the Bible speaks of. We need daily worship. You know, worship is not an event. It really is a way of life. It really is a lifestyle. I need daily fellowship. And I am so glad that we see a lot of people coming back to church and going away from the pandemic, and we're getting back together and fellowshipping. And let me tell you something, I've missed that. And I'm so glad sometimes, honestly, some of you, I just feel like giving you a hug. I really do, because I hadn't seen some of you in so long. But we need that daily fellowship. We need to be a daily witness, as Pastor was mentioning this morning. And I pray that all of us will take the the uh, the uh, the word that Pastor mentioned this morning, the to get out and spread the good news of the gospel and win someone to the Lord this week. And I pray that, that we'd all take that to heart this week. We need daily wisdom. That's why the Bible says to get into the Word of God and to study it and read it. We need to be thankful daily. It's something else that we need to do. We all have daily battles that we face. You know, we all go through trials. We all go through temptations. We all go through tragedies in our life. And even Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 28, Paul said there were daily pressures. Have you ever felt pressures in your life? I'm feeling pressure right now. And I've felt it all day. But we all have those pressures in life, don't we? Hey, doesn't the Bible say that we need our daily bread? Oh, we need the Word of God. We need our daily confession. We need to ask God to forgive us of our sins. We need to do our devotions. But for so many people, the Christian life has been delegated to just one day a week through a church experience. But yet God in His Word teaches us that we are to walk with Him daily. Walk with Him daily. So there's a principle that I'd like to share with you tonight that's been very helpful to me. And it's really not a pleasant word, I guess. Because when you talk about death, you automatically think of something that's sad. But to the Christian, the Bible says, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, he said, I die daily. I die daily. And I believe that probably the Apostle Paul was the greatest Christian that ever lived, and he testified that truth and said, I die daily. Now, one irony of the Christian life is that it's not about just life only. It really is about death. You know, it's interesting, but if you want to live, you have to die. You have to die. You have to die to self. And when you study the Christian faith, you'll find that, first of all, we talk about the death of Christ. And you'll find that how do we enter into eternal life? We enter through eternal life through believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And if you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you do not know for sure if you die today you'd go to heaven, let me encourage you to get saved tonight. Let me encourage you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you, it's the best decision, it's the greatest decision you will ever make in your life, is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that things are going to get easier, but you do have eternal security. So we want to talk tonight about being alive in Christ, dying to self, and living for Him. You know, when it comes to the end of our life, we know there's a physical death, and all of us are going to die unless the Lord comes back. You've heard many times, the statistic rate on death is still at 100%. It hasn't changed. But for the believer, that death is not the end. It's a doorway into that life that we have with God in eternity. But I'm not talking about the physical death today. I'm talking about, and not necessarily about the death of Christ, which is so important to our faith. I'm talking about a death that must happen over and over and over again and again. I'm talking about daily dying. Daily dying. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. I want you to see this, and we're going to look at it in context as well, but I want to use it as a principle for our daily life tonight, okay? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, I die daily. What was he saying? Paul was saying here, hey, I'm living in the power of the resurrection, in the fellowship of sufferings, and that's a verse we'll look at in just a few minutes. But then I want you to look in Philippians chapter 1 and look with me in verse number 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 1, look in verse number 20 and verse 21. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And then notice verse number 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I got saved when I was about 5 years old at a small church in Cleburne. I remember the day like it was yesterday, going down to an altar, and my Sunday school teacher came down and she asked me why I was there. I said, I want to trust Jesus as my personal Savior. And that day I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I didn't have much growth between the ages of 5 and 16. And I'm so thankful for a youth pastor that one day moved down. This was God ordained. I really do believe it. Where a youth pastor moved down the street from me, and I was out riding my bike one day, and this youth pastor said, hey, I'm new in town. In fact, they just moved in. He says, I'm the youth pastor at Bible Baptist Church. My name is Mike Coleman. Do you have a church you go to? And at that time, our family was kind of floundering between churches. We were not really what we call faithful. We went Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, but that was about it. I didn't have any spiritual growth. Sometimes in the Sunday school class I was in, there was only me and the teacher. And that was it. So I thought, man, this is a neat opportunity. He told me all the things that they had youth activities. I thought, wow. You know, they had camp. I had never been to camp. I'd never been to junior camp. I had never been to any type of camp. And he says, we go to youth camp every summer. I went, wow, that's so cool. You know, we play softball and basketball. And I went, oh, man, that's cool. We got a lot of teenagers. And automatically, as a 16-year-old boy, I was thinking, man, there must be a lot of girls there. You know? But I went there and got into the youth group and then began hearing the Word of God. And it really began to change my life. My life is indebted to Mike Coleman tonight for taking time to speak to me, because just a year or so later, God called me to the ministry. I'm so thankful for that. But one of the first things that I remember when I was in that youth group was Brother Coleman passed out a little piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, it had this: for me to live is blank, and to die is blank. Now listen, I had no clue. I didn't know there was even a Bible verse for that, okay? But I went to for me to live is blank, to die is blank. I mean, I love sports. And I said, for me to live is sports, and to die is to go to heaven, you know? You know? And I didn't know the spiritual aspects of that at all. But as I've grown in my maturity in the Lord and grown in the Lord, I realize that how much important it is that I live for Christ. And then I put my ambitions, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute, that I put that my aim in life is to magnify Christ. And even the Lord expressed it in this in His words when He said, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. But did you notice what Paul, when he was writing to the Philippians, he says, so now also Christ shall be magnified. Paul's whole idea of life was to magnify Christ through every season and through every situation. And that was what he wanted. And can I ask you tonight, is that what you want? Can you honestly say that you magnify Christ in every season of your life? Through every situation of your life? Through every trial? Through every temptation? Through every tragedy? Isn't it amazing that some people, when tragedies come in their life, they get bitter at God? I've never understood this. They get angry at God. They get mad at God because of what God did to them. But on the other hand, you have some people that have a trial, a tragedy, or a temptation that comes up, and then they just praise God. Like the Fanny Crosby's, when she was suffering her blindness, she used that as an opportunity to give glory and honor to God and wrote some tremendous hymns that we're singing today. It really is how we react. It's not how we react. It's really how we respond. So many people, when something bad, they react, whether it's in anger or bitterness or guile or malice or something, and they react to that because that's what's in their heart, instead of responding in the way that God would want them to, and in love and joy and peace, and responding the way that God would want us to respond. I believe this is a great secret. What was the cross? Take up that cross and follow me. Deny thyself daily and follow me. If you remember about the cross of Christ, it was an instrument of death. I'm not trying to sound morbid at all today, but I want you to know that daily dying has become one of the greatest wonderful truths that I've really been able to learn and I've been able to apply to my life. And by the way, I'm still learning it today. And I haven't reached it, but I'm still trying. I'm trying to remember that I'm supposed to die daily. And you've heard pastors say this, we don't need a better Earl Sides, we need a deader Earl Sides. And it's the same thing with you. We don't need better you. We need a deader you. To live for the Lord, to live for Christ, and to magnify Him. That's our aim. That's our ambition. Is that your ambition? Is that what your aim is? I'm learning that only through the death of self do we allow Christ to live His victorious life through us. If you want to come after Christ, then you're going to have to pick up your cross. And if you want to follow Jesus, then you're going to have to take up that cross every day of your life and live for Him. I'm sure many of you have heard the story. You've heard it here. Pastor has mentioned it and referred to it many times, the story of William Borden. William Borden died at the age of 25 years of age. He was the heir of the Borden Milk fortune. But he gave it all away to become a missionary and died at a very young age. In his biography, he wrote this, and you've heard this thousands of times, but this statement has really captured and captivated my heart. In every man's heart, there's a throne and a cross. If Christ is on the throne, self is on the cross. And if self, even a little bit, is on the throne, Jesus is on the cross in that man's heart. See, in other words, what he was saying was somebody dies and somebody lives. I want you to know today that Christ is worthy of the throne of your heart. He's worthy of it. And if Christ is worthy of the throne, that means that we must take up our cross. When Paul made this statement to die daily, in the immediate context, what was happening here, he was facing daily peril. I mean, people wanted to kill him. Every day of his life, once he accepted Christ, there was people that was wanting to kill him every day of his life. Have you ever been there? I don't think I've had somebody wanting to kill me every day, but that's what Paul had. I mean, they wanted his head. They wanted to crucify him. So in the immediate context, he was facing this daily peril, and there were people who were trying to kill him, and every day he lived on the edge of eternity. And that is a great realization for all of us to know that, hey, all of us are near eternity. And one day we're going to give an account for our life for the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10, all of us must stand before God and give an account. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But Paul, in the spiritual reality here, understood that what it was to live as a dead man. Because in the verse that follow, it's very clear that his eyes were on eternity and not on this world. And you know what? How do we get our eyes from this world into eternity? We only do that by one way, by looking in the view of the cross. By looking at what he has done for us. You see, when you come to the cross, what happens? Your ambition dies. Your aim dies. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 9, a very important verse that I've really, that's captivated my heart in the last few weeks. And you, some of you, I've shared it with you. And what does that verse say? It says, wherefore we labor, that present or absent, that we may be accepted in Him. What was Paul saying here? Paul said, my aim, my ambition, I labor, that I may be accepted of Him. That I may give glory and honor to the Lord. And he just didn't do that one day a week. He did that every day. In fact, he did that every second of his day. So let me ask you tonight. In your life right now, can you honestly say with a clear conscience that you are living your life for the glory and honor of the Lord? Make it his aim. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Well, therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do. Whatsoever. Yeah, just fill in the blank. Whatsoever we bring honor and glory to God. Or as Steve Curran says, hey, that we make God look good. And that is our aim. We ought to want to make God look good. So you see, death is a way of life. Spiritually dying to self is a way of life. And do you want that resurrection power? Didn't Paul say in Philippians chapter 3, in fact, turn there, Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, all right, this is my life verse. You know what it says. Most of you have it memorized. I know you teenagers have it memorized. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Hey, listen, what does that word conformable unto His death mean? It means resembling it, to be compliant, to be ready to follow direction. Hey, listen, I'm supposed to be under the direction of my captain, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not what Earl Sides wants, but what the captain wants. What Jesus wants for me. I'm so thankful for where God has me. Really don't deserve it. But He's been so good to me. And what He's done for me is so much better than what I could have done for myself. That's what dying to self is. A lot of people want the power of His resurrection, but they don't want to be conformable unto Him. They don't want to live the selfless life. Oh, they want to live the self-righteous life, but they don't want to live the selfless life. You see, the cross is a doorway to the empty tomb. Lester Roloff once said this, the first thing I do every morning when I get out of bed is jump in the grave. Amen. First thing I do every morning is I jump in the grave. And I know that's a humorous way of saying that he had to die every day. And I had to die, he had to die every morning in order for Christ to be glorified and live in me and through me and for me. I have to die daily. You see, the secret to the Christian life, the secret of Christian living is daily dying. Is daily dying. We all know Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Most of us have that verse memorized as well. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Have we ever just stopped and think what that verse? Sometimes we memorize verses and really don't even meditate what they say. I am crucified with Christ. It means I'm dead. Nevertheless, I let not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, friend, you don't try to die. You don't work at dying. You just die. Can I even use another word? We just yield. We just yield to the Lord. We give way to. The word yield means to give way to. You see, you don't pick up your cross. You give up yourself. You recognize that you are not your own. You are bought with a price. You no longer have the right to plan your own future. You just yield to death. Just like I said a while ago, I'm so thankful where the Lord has me and what he has me doing. I don't even know what even to think about, what my plans for life was. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful I yielded to him and to his will. And teenagers, let me say something to you. You know, some of you says, I don't know, brother. I don't know about giving my life to the Lord. I don't know about being in God's will because I'm afraid of what God may want me to do. He may want me to go to Africa. We always hear that. Well, can I be honest with you? I've been to Africa. And you know what, Miss Nikki and I came home saying to each other? Lord, if you'd like for us to go to Africa, we'll do it. We'll do it. Why? Because God put that desire in our heart through the Holy Spirit. You see, we died to self. We went on that short-term mission trip, and God burdened our heart for the same thing when we went to the Philippines and we went to South Africa. And I'm telling you, so when you see the what's going on in the mission field, your heart just yearns to do more for the Lord and to see his name glorified and to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, the secret of the victorious Christian life is just that. It's beginning every day meditating on this truth that when Christ died, I died with him. And when he was crucified, I was crucified. And now Jesus Christ lives within me and inside me. And could I challenge you to do this? Before you get out of bed every day, say something like this: Lord, I take up my cross. I count myself as a dead man. I'm yours. Live your life through me. I want to live your life. I want you to live your life through me. And I tell you, the truth of union with Christ and his death and union with Christ and his resurrection power opens the doorway to a life so many people never discover. They never figure it out. They don't see it. You see, you don't start living until you start dying. It's very simple as that. You don't start living until you start dying. Now let's apply as we finish this up, okay? Let's apply dying yourself. Because most of us don't know what it looks like. I found this, it was really good. When you're forgotten or neglected or purposely set aside as nothing, and you don't have sting and hurt with the insult or oversight, but your heart is happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. It reminds me of the story in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, about Peter and the other apostles that were preaching Christ, and they were arrested and beaten for preaching the name of Christ. And the Bible says that they were told not to speak in the name of Jesus. They were beaten for it. They released and says, hey, don't you go back out there and preach Christ. Don't you do it. But the Bible tells us that in verse number 42, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. And you know what it says in verse number 41? So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. I'm telling you something, many times when we suffer, when something's going on in our life, and we begin to suffer, what happens? Woe is me. Woe is me. Can't you see I'm sorrowful? Woe is me. And we want people to feel sorry for us, don't we? And by the way, that's our flesh. That's our flesh. But if we're dead to self, we're rejoicing. Rejoicing. Count it all joy. Count it all joy is what Philippians says. Count it joy when you suffer persecutions. Paul said in another. So it's very important that we are happy and we're happy. Our heart is happy when we're and counted worthy to suffer for Christ. How about this? When you receive correction and reproof from someone less of stature than yourself, and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up in your heart. That's dying to self. When you never care or refer to yourself in conversation or record your own good works or itch for commendation, for someone to pat you on the back, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. You can see others prosper and get things that you, man, I'd sure like to have that. Or maybe get a promotion at work, or maybe a combination or a pat on the back for maybe something that maybe you did more in the background, but somebody else got credit for it. And you have no ill will, that's dying to self. When you're content with any food, with any clothing, with any offering, with any climate, with any society, with any solitude, and any interruption to your life. And folks, there are lots of interruptions to our life. And some of those interruptions are God ordained, by the way. And you're dying to self. You see, the Bible says in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. You see, the call of God is a calling. It's not an application. We don't apply for a job for the Lord. We don't do that. It's a call. Jesus said, for many are called, but few are chosen. There's a book entitled They Found the Secret. It's a biographical sketch of some great Christians in history. Great men and women, different backgrounds, who all discovered this same secret. J. Hudson Taylor coined it the exchange life. As I've made Richard Steve Kernan calls it, the hid in life. And it really is describing what it means to know Christ as our sufficiency in all things. And they all discovered that the secret to the Christian life, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is to allow Jesus Christ to live in, through, and for us. In, through, and for us. My prayer for you tonight, that you'll find this same secret. And by the way, it's an open secret. It's not hidden. It's open. And all of us enjoy knowing secrets, don't we? And this is an open secret that's in His Word. God's not hiding it from us. In fact, many times we just ignore it altogether because sometimes dying hurts. It hurts. But it's right in the Word of God. And the truth is, the Bible says, if any man will come after me, and Jesus said that, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, when God calls a man, He calls him to die. He calls him to die. Many times in pre-marriage counseling, when I'm dealing with couples that are getting ready to get married, I enjoy that time when I get to the young man. I say, son, Philip, this is for you, by the way. get ready, because you're about to die. You're about to die. I had a call from one of my former teenagers yesterday, Brother Tony. Called me and said, "Hey, Brother Earl, I got married." And he remembered me using that illustration. He says, "Guess what, Brother Earl? I died." And you know what was even more funny? The judge that they went to get married said the exact same thing. "Son, you're about to die." Oh, I'm praying that today this will be the day that you'll realize that you'll die daily, spiritually speaking, that you'll die to self and be alive to Christ. I didn't even use Romans chapter 6, verse number 11, where it says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." But I think you understand what the principle is there, that we are to die to self. And see, that you'll understand that you'll die to self and live for Jesus Christ. You know what dying will do? Dying will prevent bitterness and anger and wrath and malice and evil speaking. But you know what being in Christ and being alive to Christ will do? It'll bring joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. It'll bring all of those things. So my question to you tonight is a very simple question. Are you dead? Are you dead? Are you dead spiritually? Because if you're dead spiritually speaking this week, you won't have a trouble going up to a coworker and saying, "Hey, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?" You won't have a problem mentioning the Lord Jesus Christ this way because you're dead to self. Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." By the way, the word "shall" there is that legal. We've learned this in Sunday school. We're under obligation. We're under obligation. Are you dead yet? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you so much. There is a death. Can I say there is a glory to follow? The hymn writer wrote, "It shall be worth it all when we see Christ. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So let us run the race till we see Christ." You know, if we'll keep our eyes on Christ, keep our eyes focused on Him, we'll see less of self and more of His glory. We will want to glorify Him and live for Him with every ounce of our being. Father, the challenge is out tonight that you've laid on my heart. It's been such a life-changing thing for me to learn this principle of dying to self. I haven't mastered it yet. I'm trying. I want to please you with every ounce of my being. I want to magnify Christ, as Paul said. So I pray that tonight, if there's someone here that, Lord, maybe they haven't died to self. Maybe they haven't made that decision to yield. But tonight will be the night, and it really will be a life-changing moment. And we'll give you glory and praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God spoke to your heart tonight, seal that with a decision here at the altar. Oh, it's easy to stand there and say, "I want to do that," but coming down the altar and make that commitment to the Lord on your knees is something else that will be something that you'll never forget, and seal that. As we sing, let's do business with the Lord.